Amen. If you got your Bibles, real quickly, turn over to the book of Numbers with me, Numbers chapter number 11. And I want us to look real quickly at a few verses this morning and lay a thought that God has laid on my heart, share it with you this morning, similar around the same thought that they were singing about. Just amazing to me how the Lord moves and works. Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 21, and let's look down through verse number 23. And Moses said, "The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, and they shall eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "Is the Lord's hand waxed?" What's that next word? Short. "Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." In cotton patch language, this is what the Lord asked Moses. Notice who's asking the question. It's not Moses asking the Lord this question. It's the Lord asking Moses this question and saying, "Hey, Moses, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" When you think about the life of Moses, Moses had saw God do great and mighty things. But now Moses was up against a new obstacle. All these people needed to be fed. The children of Israel that were over 4 million at this time needed provision from heaven. And with a new obstacle, he had forgotten about what God had done in his past because of the mountain that he saw in his present. Let me say this morning, there's a lot of times in our own life when we forget what God has brought us through and what God has done for us because the mountain that's standing before us today, we're thinking, "I've never gone here before. I haven't seen anything like this before." But I believe if we were to yank Moses out of heaven and say, "Moses, tell us about it. Tell us about the Lord. Is anything too hard for him?" I believe he'd say this morning with full confidence and full assurance that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Because when you start looking at Moses' past and what God had done for him, you would definitely have to say that nothing is too hard for the Lord. When Moses lived in a time of captivity, when it was dark and the children of Israel were in bondage, it looked like everything was against them. They were there because of generational shackles, because year after year after year, shackles were passed from one generation to another generation. Also down there in Egypt, they were dealing with emotional shackles. How many women were hurting because their little babies were cast into the Nile River and they were lost and they were eaten? I wonder how many mamas wept at night because they lost their child to that river. I wonder how many hurts were there in that nation of Israel because of the shackles that they were going through. And you know what? There was 400 years of silence when there was no word from God down there. All they had was a promise that one day God would deliver them. And then 400 years, there was a little baby that was born down in Egypt by the name of Moses. It reminds me of that old New Testament between Malachi and Matthew. There are 400 years where it seems like God is silent. But then all of a sudden, there's a little baby born down in Bethlehem, and it brought hope into a world. And there was Moses growing up in that home, and they didn't get out by power. They didn't get out by might, but there was a lamb one day that was slain that led them out of bondage. And guess what? I didn't get out by might, and I didn't get out by power, but I got out by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what breaks you out of captivity? It's not your good works. It's not your water baptism. It's not your church membership, but it is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why we got a hope this morning? Because what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You may be here this morning and you say, "I've gone too far." You may be here this morning and said, "Hey, I've got some emotional hurts in my past." I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses us from all sin. Hey, Moses, what about it? When you're in captivity, is anything too hard for God, I believe Moses would say with full assurance, there is no shackle that God cannot overcome. And I don't know where you are this morning, but I knew the God that I serve, and there's no shackle that God cannot overcome this morning. Not only that, if you look in the life of Moses, remember they come down to the Red Sea. And they're in a place not of captivity, but of confinement. Here they are, they're trapped on this side. And they're trapped on this side. Pharaoh's army's coming up, and all they have before them is a Red Sea. And when they could not go this way, and they could not go that way, and they could not go back, I'm glad there was a God that took them forward. Moses came to God and he said, God, what I'm going to do? He said, go forward. And he goes and tells the people, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If you also run that little word still, you'll find in Exodus where he says stand still. In the book of Ruth, she's told to sit still. And in Psalms 46:10, we're told to be still. But you know what? When we get still, God does his greatest works. And it seemed like they were in a place of confinement. I need God to do something in this place. And let me say something. I promise you here this morning, there are some folks in this place who feel trapped. You're trapped. Some of you feel like you're trapped in your ministry. You feel like you're trapped at your job. You feel like you're trapped and everything's against you. What am I supposed to do? I'm glad there's a God that can make a way where there seems to be no way. Why? Because there's no sea that he cannot open. I believe when they got down to that Red Sea, you want us to go forward? Yes, I want you to go forward. And when they began to do what God said to do, God began to roll that Red Sea back. Some scholar said, now, I know when ABC does the Ten Commandments, they give you a path no wider than that little aisle right through there for those 4 million to walk through in one night. No, if you read, you know what you find out? That path that God made was over 3 miles wide. What are you saying, preacher? I believe when they got that Red Sea, they said that problem that we were thinking it was so bad, where did it go? What happened to it? God made a way where there is no. I'm telling you, I'm serving God this morning that can clear a path for you, that can make a way for you, that can do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. And that thing that you fear and that thing that you dread and you think that thing is impossible, I'm glad you can step up to it and say, where did it go? What happened to it? What a mighty God we serve. Hey, Moses, what about it this morning? Moses, what about it? Hey, can God help you in that area? Area confinement when you're stuck, he'd say, there's no sea that God cannot open. But when you think about the life of Moses, there's a place in his life they take on that journey as they go on the other side of the Red Sea. They go to a place called Marah. They go 3 days without water. For 3 days. I mean, you remember the children of Israel over there clapping their hands, praising God. Isn't life great? What a mighty God we serve. Egypt's over with. We're out of bondage. We're out of shackles. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And 3 days after camp meeting. Three days after camp meeting. Here they are now saying, let's stone Moses. Let's get rid of him. What's going on? And here they find a place of water. And I believe somebody crests that hill and they start looking down and they say, hey, Moses, we found water. Bring the children. Bring the women. Let's go. Let's take a drink. And they get down there only to find bitterness. Now not only have they gone from captivity, not only have they gone to confinement, now they find themselves in a place of confusion. I'm in the will of God. Doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's bitter. Have you ever been in the middle of God's will and found a bitter experience? What do I do? Because what I'm drinking is bitter. Stop the kids because I don't want the kids to get to the bitter hole. Stop the wives because we don't want them to taste of anything else like this. And you in the ministry, because you're the one leading it.
It's bitter. God, I don't understand. I just walked where you told me to walk. I'm just doing what you're telling me to do. But it's bitter. And the Bible says that the Lord does not say showed them, it says showed him a tree. Moses was the go-between between the people and God. And he shows the, I hope this will be all right. He shows them a tree. And something that is living is about to die. Something living is about to die for some people to have some sweetness out of their bitterness. And that tree dies and gives its life, and Moses, the mediator, takes that tree up. And he carries that tree to that bitter water. You know what happens when you start carrying a tree on your back? You start getting marks. You start getting marks where the tree's been. And Moses takes that tree and lifts it up. And he throws that tree into those bitter waters. And what happens when you throw the tree into the bitter waters? It goes in, it goes down, and it comes up. You're going to get that in a moment. He went in, it went down, and while it was down, it took all the bitterness, past, present and future. There was none left in it. It got it all. And when it came up, it sat on top of the bitter waters. It was no longer contaminated anymore. And Moses said, now we can drink. We could not drink before because the waters were bitter, but there was something added to the bitter waters that took them out. I sure am glad when Calvary is added to the bitter waters. I'm glad there's something taken out. And then all of a sudden Moses says, get the children, get the women, let's go, let's drink. And I believe some of them are saying, I'd love to drink, but I'm scared. Because the last time it was bitter. But they had to do something. First of all, they had to believe that God fixed it for them. The second thing they had to do was bend. See, they couldn't get it from up here. But they had to bend. And when they got down, God put in them what he fixed. But it wasn't until they got down that God put in them what he fixed. I believe God has fixed some stuff for some people out here, but we haven't made our way down to here to pick up what he's fixed for us and let him put something down on the inside where we're saying, boy, that's sweet. I can't believe God's brought sweetness out of this. I can't believe God's fixed this. I can't believe God's done this. What are you saying, preacher? There's no sorrow that God cannot overcome. If he can take all the bitterness, there wasn't 1 ounce of bitterness left. There wasn't 1 ounce of contamination left because the cross and that tree took it all. And I come to let you know this morning, there's not one single sin or sorrow that God cannot overturn. Joseph looked at his situation and said something like this: ye thought evil against me, but God. It looked bad, but God. It looked hopeless, but God. It looked impossible, but God. What are you saying, preacher? Nothing is too hard for the Lord this morning. I'll share this story. I'm done. My wife and I, we had been married just a few short years and just started the church. We started the church from scratch. It was just 4 of us. And my wife and I, we were newly married, and we come to the day, my wife comes and tells me one day, said, we're going to have a baby. Man, we were tickled to death. 8 weeks into the pregnancy, my wife wakes me up one night and she says, we got to go to the hospital. go to the hospital and walk back there, and the doctor does the ultrasound and all that stuff, and evidently they didn't teach him manners and courtesy and how to deal with people skills. He walked in there and he said this, and he walked out, "Your baby's dead," and walked out. Left me and my wife in that room. We left that hospital heartbroken, because here's what was going through my mind, Brother Steve. God, I'm serving you. God, I'm trying to do what's right. How come I'm having to drink bitter waters? Went to Walmart and there was a kid right in front of me. That mother began to smack that kid and holler at that kid, and my wife and I were sitting there heartbroken and saying, God, if you gave us a child, we wouldn't have treated him like that. Now, maybe you're more spiritual than us. But we were just hurting because our waters are bitter. See, when you go to church and you're the preacher, sometimes you just got to fake it. But where the truth is known, all you're drinking is from the bitter. Wondering, God, will you ever fix my problem? Will you ever answer my prayer? God, will you break through for me? I hear all these stories. But what about where I am? Don't you care? What about us? And we had to drink from that bitter cup. But God gave me a promise. He told me in Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you have showed to his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. I told my wife, I said, God's going to give us a baby. She said, I don't know. How do you know that? He told me. I showed her that verse. She woke me up many times a night. She said, are you sure about this? I said, I'm just as sure as my name is Michael Edwards. 4.5 years later, we lived on that promise. And God gave us a child.
Amen.
Well, you find out, I watched God take our bitter waters, blessed us. She's now 11 with our 11-year-old, and blessed us with another one. That's 4. Amen. Full of life. But this is what I love about my girls. Their hearts are tender towards God. Amen. You know, my little girls, they love to come. Go to camp meeting, and they love to go. They love going to Burlington with us and watching over there. We've gone there a bunch of times. And I've watched God take that bitter water, add that cross, watch him take that bitterness out, and do something out of that same hole that I thought was bitter. Because you know where a lot of our ministry has come to hurting people? That hole. Because I can help people that have been hurting. Because God took me to the bitter hole of Mara. See, sometimes God has to take you to Mara for you to say, hey, come taste what God's done for me. That used to be bitter towards me, but God. You know why? Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Aren't you thankful on a Thursday morning that nothing is too hard for the Lord?
Bless your heart.